This shiur is about brokers and about shadchanim. And how do you divide up the payment between them? Okay? So the shaila I want to talk about, which is going to be the one that brings out the main, shaila, is a common case like this. Someone is told, informed of a house. He has a house to sell. So his house is on the market, and a guy comes over to him and says, hey, you're looking to sell your house. I have a buyer for you. So he says to him, oh yeah, who's your buyer? And he tells him the name. And he says, oh, that guy? He could respond in one of two ways. Either he could respond that, oh, David. Can you make me co-host? Because I made the wrong person the co-host. So he says he could respond to that comment in one of two ways. Either he could say, well, sir, that guy, that's my friend. I don't need you to tell me about him. If you're telling, I just didn't know he was interested in buying. But if he's interested in buying, I'll talk to him myself. Okay. So the bottom line is he then goes ahead. He circumvents the broker because he doesn't need the broker for this guy. And he says, okay, I'll do the deal myself. And he closes the deal without the broker. So all the broker did was inform him that this guy is looking for a house to buy. I didn't know he was looking to buy, but I'm looking to sell. Great, thanks for putting me together. And he wants to go sell him the house. So that's one case. The other case is where he tells him, that guy? Are you crazy? I would never do business with that guy. And he shoos him away. And a little bit later, he comes back to him and says, and lo and behold, a little bit later, it turns out he sold it to this guy. So he kind of circumvented the broker. Now, this could happen with Shaduchim also. What's the case in Shaduchim? That, you know, two people hear about an idea. One person hears about this girl that's looking to get married. He tells them about... He says, oh, I have a boy for you. And the same thing. Oh, a boy for me. That guy, it's technically a pretty good idea, but I know the family. I don't need you. You have to make me co-host. No. No? You know, I don't need you for that. And no. Or just mute everyone. Except for me. And there's some background noise if you want to mute themselves. So what's the halacha in these cases? Okay, so now let's back up one step because we went a little bit out of order in the last two shiurim. I just want to give another piece of background information. According to the halacha, there is a chiyuv to pay for demei sarser, to pay for a brokerage fee and a shatchanis. It's the same thing. There's two ifanim of that case. One is when you ask the person to do it for you. You say, please, can you get me this deal? Can you please get me I'm hiring you. Sell me my land, my property. So you hire the guy. If you hire the guy, that's clear what the payment is for. The payment is for the work. But there's another case, which is often the case, which is you didn't hire the guy. And the guy just heard, like we said, these two cases. He just heard about the fact that you're interested in selling, or he heard about the fact that you have a child on the shidduch market, and he heard about the fact that, you know, you're looking to sell or looking to get shidduch, and he offers you something. Oh, thank you very much. You know, it's a very nice chesed. You thought of me. It's so kind of you to think of me. And weiter, why do I have to pay him? Right? Why should I pay him for? Okay, so is there a reason that I should have to pay him, right?
Meaning the guy should stipulate, hey, I just want to show before I reveal this information to you.
If he stipulates it, then yes. But is there a machayv? So we brought down from the Vilna Gaon that yes, you have to pay in that case. Why do you have to pay? You have to pay because he was yored l'soich sadeh chavera, which we already said was a case where someone does work for you in your house. You go away for the weekend, and you know it was clear that you needed a paint job. A guy comes and paints your house. You never asked him. You got to pay him the minimum price that he benefited you, even if you didn't formally engage him in the process. Because someone who benefits you, you have to pay. So being that that's the case, here it's that also. Now, the question is, the Vilna Gaon says, when someone brokers a deal for you, even though you did not ask him, you have to pay him the going rate, because he gave you hana'ah, he gave you benefit. Now, what's the pshat in that Vilna Gaon? Is the Vilna Gaon saying that really he's like a hired worker, and sometimes you have to pay someone for work that they did for you, even though you didn't hire them, but basically your relationship with the person is as if he's your employee, because he worked for you? Or is the Vilna Gaon saying something else completely? And this is very important, okay, so listen carefully. It's not the pshat that the guy worked for me. It's a different pshat. The pshat is, it's if someone benefits me, if someone does something for me, then the fact that I got benefit from him is mechayiv me to pay him. So someone that comes into my property and he says, and he starts planting grass in my house, and now my house goes up in value, that value, I have to pay him for that. Maybe not the whole price, but I got to pay him for the work. So someone does something for me which gives me hana, I have to pay for that. Okay? And that's called mehane.
Does it matter how much work they did?
No, so the big nafkamina between the two tzadim is how much work did they do? Because according to the first tzad, that he's like your poyel, like he worked for you, so it's only if he worked for you. But if he just gave you an idea, who says that that means anything? But if it's because of hana, I got a lot of hana from this idea. Because of this idea, I was able to close the deal. So therefore, since he owns the idea, that's not copyright laws. It's just that since he gave me hana, so therefore, I have to pay him. Okay? So now, based on this, we're going to see that most of the poiskim go with the concept of hana. If you get hana from the sarser, you got hana from the broker, from the shadchan, even if you never asked him for it, even if he didn't do a lot of work. The fact is that you got hana from him, you got to pay him. Okay? Now, before we get into the details of the cases, and just to pique your interest, because I want you to stay interested. So I'm going to throw out a couple cases that Ramosha talks about and some other people talk about. Okay? One case was Ramosha Feinstein has a case that a guy, we said it last week, but basically someone brought a buyer, and I said no, because the price that the buyer was willing to pay was too low. And then eventually the house was still on the market for another 6 months. So now I decided, you know what, I'm going to go for the lower price. So I'm going to lower my price. So I advertise all over at the lower price. And then this original buyer comes back to me from my advertising. Do I have to pay the broker? I don't have to pay the broker. Because at the time that the guy brought me the buyer, I wasn't selling it for that price. But now I advertise for that price, and now the guy comes. So the broker time is the only reason the guy, you think every time he sees an advertisement for a house, he goes and jumps on it? No, of course, it's only because I had already done all the legwork behind the scenes 6 months ago to get him interested. Now he sees that's the price, he jumps on it. And the other guy's timing, the guy, I wasn't interested at the time. I paid for advertising, and the guy saw my advertising. Calm down. All right? So according to, with whom is the halacha? Okay? Another case.
Yeah.
Same thing. Anytime that
he does all those repairs.
Right. Okay. Similar thing. If for another reason, the whole deal was on hold in the meanwhile. Okay. There's another case in Shidduchim. Okay. It's a very, very awful case. It's a pretty awful case. But it's, I heard about it from my friend Rav David. But then, you know, nothing personal. He can make stuff up. But then I saw the case brought down in the sefer here. It's a crazy case. This guy makes a shidduch and the boy and girl going out, and the shadchan after a couple dates tells the father of the girl, the other side saying no. So, okay, and then he tells the side of the, and he breaks off the shidduch. A few months later, the father of the kala, the father of the girl, and the father of the boy bump into each other, and they're like, "By the way, like, well, just off the record, but like, my son's not married yet. Your daughter's not married yet. Like, what didn't you, what was the problem? What didn't your daughter like about my son? So he says, my daughter not like my son? It was your son that didn't like something about my daughter. That's what the shadchan told me. He said, no, the shadchan told me that it was your daughter didn't like something about my son. So the shadchan sabotaged the shidduch. Why? Because he had a better, he had someone that was offering him a greater shadchanas to marry off to get to this boy. So he basically broke off the shidduch so he could offer the boy to someone that was going to give him more money for the shidduch. That's really bad. Yeah. L'maisa, in the end, they're like, okay, so forget the shadchan, and they got married. Now the shadchan comes out of the woodwork and wants shadchanas. So this is a din Torah. Wow. This is a din Torah, and let's see. We're gonna analyze the case. Okay, we're gonna. But this is actually in this sefer. They have this story down here. Okay, and Me'inze was another case of another case. We'll get to because. But okay, so the halacha is like this. Before we even get to this, we have to understand that the poiskim, made a certain going rate for brokers, and in this context, I'm calling a shadchan a broker. It's the same exact thing as far as this whole conversation is concerned, basically. So there's a scale of pay, and everything is a kol kafi minhag medina, but there's something called the maschil and there's something called the goymer. In Hilchos Sarsaros, in Hilchos Brokerage, there is two people. There is the Goymer and the Maschil. There's the guy who starts the deal, and there's the guy who ends the deal. Okay? Usually, and the Halacha says clearly that they both get paid. The one who started and the one who closed. It's like in baseball, you know, you need a closer. But he doesn't get the whole win, you know. If you went a couple innings in, you're the starting pitcher. You get it, right? So there's the maschil and the goymer. The going rate, apparently, according to Chazal, there was different in the Pesachei Tshuva and Chosh Mishpat. They bring down there's different rates. But basically, the rate is that the minhag today is, and that's brought in the Pesachei Tshuva. It was from the Takana, the Maral Miprag made this Takana. That the maschil, the starter, gets a third, and the goymer gets two thirds, and the emtsoi, because everyone thinks they're an emtsoi, right? Everyone thinks that they had something to do with the shidduch, right? So it's the maschil and the goymer. So basically, they don't go 50-50; they go two thirds, one third. Okay. Now, the case of the closest case in Shulchan Aruch that we have to this was the case that we mentioned last week. The case of the Tshuva Sarosh. And basically, the case of the Tshuva Sarosh is identical to what we said, that Reuven has a property to sell. Shimon comes over to Reuven and says, I have a buyer for you. Who's the buyer? Levi. He says, oh, Levi. I don't do business with Levi. Levi's a bad guy. I don't like him. We don't have a good relationship. I don't do business with Levi. So he's fine. 3 months later, all is lo and behold, he does the deal with Levi. So now Shimon wants to get paid. Okay? And the taina of the Rosh is that probably Shimon did a lot of the work. And Reuven just pushed him away out to Ramos. Ramos means trick. He doesn't want to pay him, but he knows that the guy was the broker. By the way, Shimon was the broker. And he did all the work. It's just that Reuven doesn't want to pay him. So he tells him that, you know, I don't do business with him. He pushes him aside and then he closes on his own. So the halacha is that you got to pay Reuven. Now, so now there's a question. What are you paying Reuven? Are you paying Reuven maschil or are you paying Reuven the goymer? Are you paying with, as the maschil or as the goymer? So listen to this. The Neu Debuta explains the following. The Neu Debuta explains like this. He says it depends. If at the end the two sides did not use a broker at all, so then first of all it was probably trick. It was probably Ramos because they were trying to save the brokerage fee. And really, Reuven did all the work. So therefore, the Neu Debuta says, according to the Rosh, in that case, the Shatran would get like a Goymer also. Because at the end of the day, he did the whole thing. At the last minute, they pulled the rug from under him. Doesn't make a difference. He got you together far enough along that you don't need anyone else to close. So if the starter got you to the point that you don't need a closer, so he got the whole game, right? So therefore, if he did enough work that at that point you don't need a goymer, so he says the whole sarsaris goes to the guy. If it, okay? Now.
Now,
kipshutai, pashup shot in the Noid Bihuda, the Noid Bihuda's understanding is that the maschil does work and the goymer does work. But the maschil starts talking about the price, but they get into a hiccup. Okay, but there's a lot of, what are the other words? Contingencies and a lot of other things that need to be overcome. And this guy's not such an expert. Look, I like talking to people at Kiddush, so I know this guy. And then I hock around, and yeah, hock around, this, that, whatever. And, you know, Nishtav Shabbos Garet and Lamaisa, you know the joke. Like, Nishtav Shabbos Garet, but the car sold already, you know. So and he talks to the first guy. He says, Nishtav Shabbos Garet, but I have a car to sell. He says, "Nefesh Shabbos Garet, I already sold it to the other guy." So, but I don't know the details of real estate. I can't really close the deal, right? So that's the maschil. The maschil put the sides together, and he probably did some work to get right. This is what the Neid Debuda says, and the Neid Debuda says, if however they brought in another broker to finish the deal, then the first guy only gets like the maschil, because then that means that he did not get them far enough along that they could avoid a brokerage. So obviously what he did was only the maschil, but he still gets like the maschil. Okay, so this is the Noid Bihuda's distinction. Who did, how, when, even, let's say it was Ramos, let's say it was Taka Trick. It was Taka Trick. Really, Reuven originally would have sold it to Levi. He just told Shimon, yeah, I don't like this guy. I don't do business with him, just to get him away, right? But really, let's assume it was Ramos. It doesn't make a difference. You still have to pay him. The question is how much? Do you pay him like the maschil? Do you pay him like the goymer? And the difference would be, is there someone else involved? Okay? Now.
I don't need a goymer. I have to pay the maschil. Let's say the guy's mom is a maschil, and I go with his deal. But usually a goymer does, you know,
This is the lumdus of the Noid Bihuda. The lumdus of the Noid Bihuda is, and I want to explain it, is that he's understanding that the function of the sarsar is you're pay, even if you didn't ask him to get involved, you're paying him for his work. So it depends how much work he did. He did enough work to be paid as the goymer. Because he really got them far enough along that now they don't need any, they already closed the deal with all of his terms.
If all he did was put,
he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He discussed the price. He got him interested in the property. He told them the basic pratim. He told them the price. He told them the details, and he got them to be interested to sell. He got the guy to come to travel to meet the guy. So you know, he did a lot of the legwork. And the only thing is that they need another broker to go ahead and iron out some of the contingencies. So then he's the maschil, and the broker is the goyim. But if they don't need another broker, that means that really it's considered that what his work is the entire sarsaris. That's what the Noid Bihuda holds. Okay. But I know what you're asking. I know, but this is what the Noid Bihuda says. Now this is the Noid Bihuda's arrangement. It would come out, but however, it would still be a big stretch to your point to say. Now, let's say someone comes to you and says, "I heard about the shidduch." And you're like, I've been eyeing that, you know, oh, really? That guy? That's a very good idea. I didn't think of it. But you know what? I don't really need a shotgun for that because, you know, that person's uncle is my best friend and he'll do me a favor. I could just use him. Or even better yet, I know the parents. We go back 30 years. I'll just talk to the parents and see if it's Nogea. So now, the guy brought you the idea, but he didn't do any work. So does he get anything? Does he get maschil? And even more, according to the Noid Bihuda, does he even get the goymer? Because he didn't do anything. You don't need a sarsar, right? So according to the Noid Bihuda, the way I understood the Noid Bihuda, he would not get the goymer, and I don't even know if he would get the maschil necessarily. He didn't really do any work, okay? But we're going to see all the poiskim go not like that. The poiskim hold not like this, beferish. Okay, and let me take it a step further. I'm gonna try to get there. Rav Moshe Feinstein, going back to our case where the guy put it on the market for a higher price, the broker brought him someone at the lower price. He didn't want to sell it at the time, and then he resells it to the guy 6 months later at the lower price based on his own advertising. Right, that case. Rav Moshe says that you have to make an honest judgment call whether this buyer, are you only getting him because of the broker? If the only reason why he's coming now is because the broker did the work then, you got to pay him. Why? Because Rav Moshe holds that the idea of a broker is not for the work. The idea of the broker is for the hana that you got from him. It has nothing to do with the amount of work he put in. It has to do with the fact that he gave you hana. If I have a way of giving you hana, it doesn't take me a lot of effort, but you get a lot of hana from it, then you have to pay me. Why are you busy looking at my hana? Right? Am I effort? You want me, right? Bottom line is that I got the job done. I got you this hana. I got you the buyer. So Moshe says that if the second time the buyer came along only because of the first time that he put them together, so Moshe holds you got to pay him because he's the broker. However, okay? So therefore Moshe says if the first time, let's say okay, so according to Moshe's point, let's say there's two brokers. One guy brings you, let's say, forget the advertising. Let's say the case was a little different. In January 1st, you put up the house for $500,000. This guy comes, the broker brings you a buyer for $400,000. You're saying, I'm not selling. In June, all of a sudden, things, okay, it's on the market for $400,000. And a new broker comes and brings you that same buyer for $400,000. Do you pay the first broker or the second broker?
Second.
So Moshe says it depends. It depends. You have to really know from the perspective of the buyer, did he come because the second broker gave him the idea or the first one? Did the second broker, or better yet, did the second broker know about this guy independently? Or did the second broker only know about it because you guys were in talks already the first time? Right? So, Ramesh says you got to be very honest. You got to know. If the second broker knew about this guy and he got him himself, and the second guy's really only coming because of the second broker, and the first one's out, and you pay the second one the whole thing. Okay? But if the reason the guy's coming now is only because of the first broker, you gotta pay the first one like the maskil and the second one like the goymer. That's what Moshe says very clearly. Okay? Now, this is the setup over here according to Moshe. So now, according to Moshe, really, it has nothing to do with the amount of work that the guy put in. It has to do with the fact that he did the deal.
The deal changed completely from first person to second person, though. Right? It was $500,000 to $400,000. Now you're talking about $400,000 to $400,000. So like you're
right. But the bottom line is that at $400,000, the first broker is the one that closed the deal at $400,000. Really, it just wasn't ready to be sold then, right? So at that price, he was really willing to do it. So now, that's what Ramesha says. Now based on that. Let's go into the case of the shidduch. So someone comes over to you, and I'm sure this happens all the time, that somebody comes with an idea, it's not for me. Once the third shidduch comes with the same idea, you're like, you know what, fine, I'll say yes already. 1 second, but the first guy already offered you this. Now the first guy's going to come after at the vart, oh, mazel tov, oh, by the way, right? So he's going to want the shadchanus. So who's bedin? The first guy brought the idea, and the third guy brought the idea. So again, if the third guy did not need the first one, and the third guy knew about the idea himself, and he's the one that got the sides to agree, then the first one's out. He's not even the maskil. But if the third guy only knew about the idea from the first, then you have to give the maskil like the first guy. Another example. Let's say the guy comes to you with an idea and you're like, it's a great idea, but I don't want you to be the shadchan because this is going to require some maneuvering. I need someone else to be the shadchan. So I'm going to take your idea and bring it to another shadchan that knows me better and knows my situation, and I want you to be the shadchan. So then again, if the second guy knows about this idea, then you don't have to pay the first one like the maskil necessarily. But if the second one doesn't know this idea, then you have to pay the first one like the maskil and the second one like the goymer.
Okay.
Okay? Now, the tricky part is, according to this, that has nothing to do with the amount of work that he did. It has to do with the amount of hanah he gave you. It comes out, and this Sefer says so beferish, the case Sefer, he brings down from a tshuva Sefer called Halichos Yisrael, and he says this is the way the Bati Dinim and Eretz Yisrael Paskin Halach L'maisa today, is that let's say the guy gives you the idea, and you say, I hear you, I don't really need it, I got it, nice idea, but I don't need a shot, that's great, I'm just going to do it myself. Then you have to pay the first one like the Goymer. Because since you don't need a shadchan, so then it's considered he's the only one. And the fact that he gave you the idea means that you have to pay him like the goymer. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan says, very strong language, the Aruch HaShulchan says that any Yari Shamayim should do whatever they can not to get the shadchan who got the idea out of the picture. Because it's not honest to get the shadchan who came up with the idea out of the picture, or the broker. Right? Very often, the guy with the house, oh, I didn't know that house was for sale. I didn't know my neighbor was selling. Of course, I have a relationship with him. I'll just buy it. And both sides will be willing to, you know, circumvent the broker.
What about when as you get into the nitty gritty details of, you know, let's say shidduch here, and you realize the dowry was so high, and the other side wanted so much too, and you realize, like, wow, this is hanah in the beginning, but as you get to the ending of it, you're like, you know, they want a wedding like this, they want it.
Okay, so well, are you doing the shidduch or you're not doing the shidduch?
We're going to do it, but I'm not as excited as I
am. I'm saying, the hanah is not your excitement, the hanah is the shidduch.
Not just excited, but I ended up.
If you don't like the deal, if you don't like it, don't do it. If you like it, do it. I mean, you can't say that. You know, I'm buying the property, but I don't really like it.
I bought your house, but it was for $100,000. Like, hey, thank you for buying my house. I wanted to sell for $400,000. You know, but I had to sell it.
So then it's not enough. So then don't do it. I mean, bottom line is that's not a taina. You didn't really help me. So then don't do it. I mean, so so there is a takana that brought down in the Pisrei Tshuva, and it's hundreds of years ago, that a person should not take an idea from a shadchan and give it to his relative. I mean, because yeah, my nephew is a good shadchan. He happens to know the boy. He could use the extra money. Let him be the shadchan. You know, thanks for the idea. I'm gonna ask my nephew to go do it. Right? Or my nephew is trying to break into the real estate industry, trying to break into the market, and I want him to get some experience. So you know what? Thanks for the idea. I'm going to ask him to be the broker. Right? So there's a takana sakadmoinim already not to do that. But if it's not a relative, then it's not such a big problem because you're anyway going to pay. So you have no reason to, obviously, if you're switching brokers in the middle, you feel that this second guy can broker the deal better.
We learned about this, that you have the buyer has the right of the hanah.
Right. So he can decide, you know what, I think this broker will do a better deal than a better, he'll be able to put it together better. So therefore, that's not a problem. But the Aruch HaShulchan does say this concept, okay? So now, so if someone comes with the idea, you should really be honest and even for the idea, the poskim say, even for the idea, you have to pay him like at least like the maschil, and sometimes even like the goymer. Yeah.
In the second case, why does it matter whether it's a relative or not? Let's say I have a friend who I want him to.
The point of this is to say, if it's a relative, then the reason why you're switching is not because you think he could do a better job. The reason why you're switching is a personal gain because you're not going to have to pay him as much or whatever. So it's not honest to the original broker.
Wait, so as far as the.
Okay, fine. I'm saying if it's anything like that. But the point is, I'm saying, if you just switch to another broker because you do business with them, they're your broker because they do good for you, so you trust them more. You trust them to represent you better. You trust them to, you know, iron out the details better. So then, that's not a taina. No, the Buddha says, in general, shidduchim is different than business because shidduchim, there are a lot more things to iron out, you know, and it's very likely you trust one person more than the other. So you would be allowed to. Now, getting back to our case where the guy sabotage the shidduch, you know, for the purposes of getting more shadchanos. So basically, Reb Nissim Karel, it's paskin that you have to pay the shadchanos. Because at the end of the day, he said these people would not have gotten together without him. So since the only way they would have gotten together without is because of him, so now I don't think he's the goymer, but And for sure he's the maskil. Now, you're going to say, well, the maskil, he got them far enough that they don't need a goyim. That's not true, because he really pulled out the rug. Now, Dayan Fisher argued, and Dayan Fisher said in Yerushalayim, is that if you're the goyimer, and then you end it before they end it, so that means that your whole goyimer is finished. I mean, he says, his lashon is, the whole idea is you put them together. If you take them apart, then you didn't put them together anymore. Then the fact that they re-got connected has nothing to do with you. You specifically sabotaged it, so he says that you lose it, okay? So that's what he says. Another case, someone told me this morning, was that there was a boy that for whatever reason, he was very angry or had tainas, he was very jealous or whatever it was, he was upset at another guy, another old friend of his. So he wanted to pull a prank on him. So basically he told him, he said, I have a great shidduch for you. The other side said, yes, no problem, and go pick her up at this time at her house, whatever. And in the meanwhile, it was a total prank, and that he had no clue. So he just figured, I'll embarrass the guy. So he goes over, and he knocks, and he says, I'm here for the shidduch. And then the father of the girls has no clue what he's talking about. Who is this guy? And then he starts talking to him. He says, you know what, you look like a pretty good guy. And he didn't want to embarrass him. So he let her go out with his daughter. In the end, they got engaged. Now the first guy comes out of the woodwork and he wants to shachan us. So the person told me the story. Said that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein said that he doesn't get any schar. Why? Because you see from Bilam that Bilam was sent to curse Klal Yisrael. In the end, he benched Klal Yisrael, but he didn't get schar for benching them because he didn't want to do that. That's what just ended up happening. But Balak, who hired him to curse Bnei Yisrael, right? Balak, who hired him to curse, doesn't get schar for hiring him to bench Klal Yisrael because he really tried to get him to curse Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Balak doesn't get the schar. That's very nice. I tied it. That's very nice in Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, Balak gets no schar. But in Olam Hazeh, bottom line is, this guy put the sites together. So I would think that even if in Olam Haba this guy is a prankster and he's not getting schar, but in Olam Hazeh, you got to pay him. Because at the end of the day, he gave you the hana of putting the sites together. Who cares if what his intention was? That's what I'm saying. I don't know if the intention matters in this case. At the end of the day, he's the one that got you the hana. So Yesh La'ayin, in that case, I'm not sure.
You walked the hole there anyway. So
right, is he a mazik or not? You know.
So if you invite two people over for Shabbos and they end up wanting to do a deal together, can you call yourself a maskil?
No.
No.
The maskil, again, by the way, the maskil has to be. The maskil has to be that he put the sides together in a point that they're far enough along that they could do something.
Right, he didn't prank the guy. Hey, go change his light bulbs and make money.
Right, right. See, it could be not out the Balak and Bilam thing. It could be the guy's not a shadchan because he didn't actually do anything. It's not even an idea. He didn't even have the idea. The idea is only when he spoke to both sides. Actually, this guy never spoke to the sides. He never said that I got one side to agree. So maybe in that case, maybe the takanat. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's a different reason why he's potter. He's potter because the shadchan has to have spoken to both sides and gotten both sides to some level of agreement. If he didn't present both sides with anything, could be he's not. Okay, but I think that the point we're trying to clarify from today is that number one is that you don't have to hire the shadchan. If he gives you the hana, you got to pay. You got to pay for the hana. You got to pay for the idea. And you don't necessarily have to pay for the work. Paying for the idea itself is mechayev. And there's the maschal and the goymer. If you bring in another person, then that other person gets like the goymer. The first guy gets like the maschal. If you don't get anyone, then you pay the first guy the whole amount. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, you got to be honest, and you should not bring in someone to take away from the first of the maskil. You should allow the maskil to be the goymer under most circumstances, otherwise it's chasar, and you really shouldn't do that. Okay? So we'll stop here, and Emet Hashem, next week we will continue.
Thank you, Rabbi. Shavuot Tov.
Shavuot Tov, thank you.
Why should I have any tips to make sure that the people you're asking really are honest? That seems to be the biggest part of it. How do you really guarantee people are honest?
Right.
Especially when you know they're going to start dishonest.
He says, Beferish, by the way, Ramosha, he says that if the buyer is not paying the brokerage fee,